Ja, das wäre ganz entspannt.
Okay, so we are still busy with number 4, the 48 ways. We're in the section dealing with the milchama, the struggle between the guf and the neshama. The seichel and the dimyan, maybe, however you want to be magdir, the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. We're using guf and neshama, and the seichel and the lave. And we're saying that in order to make shalom between these two, you have to use your seichel in order to seduce the heart. In other words, you've got to get the heart on board. You've got to get the guf on board. You can't go tip to toe with the guf your whole life. You're going to get beaten. So he said that the words profit and loss are concepts, reward and punishment. Those are concepts that the guf understands. And therefore you have to be mindful of yourself very carefully. What am I going to gain from doing this positive act that I want to do, and what am I going to lose from not doing it? And then you use that to convince the guf. Surah Daf Ayin Aleph. Zewa nuscho ha-seidis. Zaha be'ezrat ha-seichel v'shocher es ha-leiv. Use the seichel to bribe the heart. The dugma, an example. Im atam ha-shochneh be'bechina rikshis, b'cheshivas u'betolat shel omel ha-teireh. Omel amidas, as gamim kashim rabim yarmu bedarkecha, gamim ein lecha koyach matzav ruach heishach, because it's tamshich litkadem vol omel mishum sheachlatata ze ma shani roitze. Person decided that what's important, and he's persuaded himself that what's important is omel b'torah, omel amidas, omel teir, whatever, omel ha-teireh, that's what I want to do. So even though it's difficult and only koyach and the resistance is humongous, but you keep going. Why? Because you made a hachlata, you made a decision, that's what I want. Umishum shata yodeo magish at kama hachlata zu chashuva la'eichus chayecha. But because you've sat down and worked out how important this is to the quality of your life. It's not enough to just say, I'm going to tell you I want it because I want to be a spiritual giant. The guf's not going to go for that. The guf has to be brought around and explained, and you have to understand how it's going to improve the quality of your life. Look at the lives of the Yeshiva Baholim of the people that are Amal Victoria, etc., etc. And look at the lives of those that aren't the Pasha. How much my life happened? How much my life would change? Just use the following idea. If you could live with this idea, if you could be Amal Victoria, really Amal Victoria, really get into the, you know, much that you walk around, that you're in the sugar, you're toiling in Torah, right? So try and medama for yourself how your life would improve. Just give me, how would life be better? Let's take an easy one, because Amal B'Torah is riddled with resistance. Avas Hashem, do you know that Hashem loves you? Imagine if you really, really knew that Hashem loved you. How would your life change? How would your life look different? Write down 10 things. Write down 10 things that your life would look different if you really knew that Hashem loved you. You're living with it real. Like, you know this table here? Yeah, when you sat down in that chair, I didn't notice you like being nervous that maybe it wasn't there. You sat down. Why would you say you wouldn't land on the floor? Because the chair's there. I mean, imagine if you knew Hashem loved you like you knew the chair was there. How would your life look different? No? I've done 10 things that would look different. Now go and acquire Avas Hashem. The guf won't get in your way. Why? Because it's in his benefits as well. Go write down. You go write down for yourself how your life would look different if you were living with Avas Hashem. Write it down, and then see if there's anything there you can use to mashachneh the guf to come along for the drive. Profit and loss, reward and punishment, quality of life, pleasure. More pleasure. The guf also wants that pleasure. Person is getting enormous spiritual pleasure, usually the guf doesn't drive in the sugar for all the physical pleasures. The guf comes along for the drive. No? Get a kid who's really enjoying his learning, he's steiging away, he's doing nicely, right? So you don't see him running off to all the havala o'elam. Who's running off to all the havala o'elam? A kid who doesn't have time for limud, he doesn't enjoy his learning. Well, what's going on here? He's enjoying learning Torah, the goof's now satisfied. What kish is the goof got to Tainug Alimud? You see that if a kid's getting Tainug Alimud, even the goof doesn't care. Even the goof comes along for the drive. You see that, don't you? Well, no, sir. If you could metayer for yourself how wonderful and how beautiful and how enjoyable it would be living a life of Amor B'Torah, goof's likely to let you do it because it's enjoyable. And he's not going to drag your kuf to go and after all the other taivas ha-goof. Once again, it's about perfection. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to become this perfect, saintly, you know, spiritually giant human being overnight. But little by little, you'll eventually, you know, win him over. You can't go tip to toe with your Yetzer Hara. If you've got tip to toe with your Yetzer Hara, you're going to get blasted. Blasted. He's much cleverer than you, he's stronger than you, he's bigger than you. You can't go tip to toe with your Yetzer Hara. You have to somehow, you have to bribe him. You have to seduce him. Look, Jesus says in the beginning when you don't know what you're doing, so then what you have to do is you have to at least just delay him. To start dealing with the Yetzer Hara by just delaying him a little bit. Never say no. You're busy learning, the Yetzer Hara says, let's go get a cup of coffee. You never say to him, no. I told you, no coffee this morning. Never ever do that, because the first thing you're going to do is have a cup of coffee. And much worse. Say to the Yetzer Hara, brilliant idea. Why didn't I think of that? It's going to be 5 more minutes, I'll be with you now. I just want to finish this Rashi and I'll be with you and go get a cup of coffee. 5 minutes comes along. Just started. All right, five more minutes. Ask anyone that gave up smoking. Ask anybody that gave up anything they wanted to give up. Yeah? No one ever said, that's it, I'm never smoking again. You'll get killed. I'm not smoking for 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, I'll have a cigarette. 5 minutes comes along, 5 more minutes. One more day. Ask anyone not to live. Basic disorder. So Tesla says that. He says, ultimately, you have to get to higher levels of, but that's the beginner's level. It's like, you know, pre-grade. Mechina. Amanaslin Nenoya Retia Shlilis. אתה צריך להגיע למצב שבו המערכת הרגשית שלך תחוש בנוח עם השינויים שאתה אוהב. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. In order not to have a, what's it here, negative, what's it here, the, rumblings, what's it,
I don't know what the word means.
Whatever. In order to avoid negative resistance, whatever. Yeah, something like that. There's another word. I can't remember what it is. Not resistance. Whatever. You need to get to a situation where your emotional system feels relaxed with the changes that you're about to make. Understand, the hardest thing in the world is change. Change causes stress. You can deny that, you can believe it, I don't really care. The bottom line is if you don't know it, accept it. Change equals stress. And the minute you come along and want to change the emotional system, you want to make a change in your life system, the resistance is humongous because it's stressful. Why is it stressful leaving from one country to another? Because you're changing, you're making a lot of changes. Moving home is stressful. Changing jobs is stressful. Changing chavrusas, changing shishivas. Whatever it is that you're doing is stressful because it requires change, and change is hard. Changing your inner world creates enormous, enormous stress. So you have to set up a marechet, you have to set up a system that can absorb and deal with the stress of that change. So you're dealing with one aspect of the other. There are many other aspects and many other different tools you need in order to be able to change. Hilchus change, yeah? Especially if you're helping someone else change. Yourself's a little bit easier. If you're helping somebody else change, make sure that the stress levels are where you want them. Don't demand a change from somebody that's going to push them over the edge of their stress levels. That's the avoid of the mashgiach. Mashgiach has to know how much you can push somebody based on how much support he's giving him in order to balance the stress levels. Fine. So you have to get the emotional system comfortable with the changes you're about to make. Otherwise, it's going to just go berserk. You see, you ever notice a kid comes to class, yeah, after having a very stressful morning, yeah? He got screamed at, he got shouted at, he got whatever, yeah? Teacher says, open the book and start reading on page 4, right? And the kid just like bursts out crying. Yeah? Another kid had a great morning, you know, got woken up with a kiss, got sent off to cheder with a kiss in his sandwich, you know, a big smile and a wave, and the kid went off to cheder, pops into cheder, sits down, opens his book, teacher says, please read from Daf Dalet, and he opens up and he reads like a breeze. What's going on here? Stress levels, that's all. Two kids arrived at school, one who had reached the red line level of his stress levels. Any more stress now, you're going to push him over the edge of his ability, he's not going to be able to function anymore. And another kid who's, you know, who's very nicely poised, very nicely set, and the stress of asking him to read does raise the stress levels a little bit, but doesn't affect his ability to function because his support system is so strong. And the minute you ask little Yankee to please read, and he just bursts out crying, is because he just, you're asking to read, that change sent him, pushed him over the red line. He just didn't have any more sponge to absorb that stress. So your little 6-year-old inside is gonna freak out when you tell him we're changing things here. Yeah? New rules here, guys. Yeah. Anybody running a business, anybody running anything, anybody doing anything knows that things keep changing, right? They change the tax laws, they change this law, they change that law, that, especially in this country. The stresses of living in this country is because nothing ever stands still for too long. Just as you set up a ma'arechet and you're running your business a certain way, they change the rules. You go all the way back to the beginning again, yeah? I was speaking to a banker the other day, I'm trying to get a job for one of our avreichim. He said a new guy starting the financial world today is streets ahead, okay, of somebody who's been working in the field for 20 years. I said, why? He said, because they've changed the game so much that an old guy just can't get into it. A new guy comes in, he learns the system, scratch, it's easy. He says, for us, it's like it's impossible to learn the new system. It's changed so much. You've been in the business for 20 years, suddenly they change all the rules. You've got to start learning all over again. It's very hard. Guy comes in clean. He learns a new game. Those changes cause enormous stress. You just get everything sorted out. You get your tax fixed up. You get your, you're working with a bank. The whole system's working nicely. And your bank goes bankrupt. You know what I'm saying? Or this crashes, or that's life. Life's full of changes, you know. So you've got to be able to deal with the stresses. Okay, we're basically working on changing ourselves, getting ourselves. The neshama wants to have its day. It wants to win, yeah. It wants to litalot, and you have to make sure that the goof doesn't drag you down. So you first got to make sure that your emotional sense is comfortable with this change you're about to make. Lamad la'gia ta guf. Learn how to calm down the body. Pata sa guf oimalo. You've got to speak this out and tell your goof, hey, listen, brother, it's not so difficult. Remember the last time we sat down and we spent 2 hours learning what it meant, the schmuck it was afterwards? Remember the pizza I bought you afterwards when we learned for 4 hours, when I bought you an ice cream because you learned so well, remember? You have to talk to your 6-year-old. Your body's like a 6-year-old. You've got to talk to him like a child. You got to win him over. You want your kid to do his aleph base, right? You want him to do his reading. You know, his chumash, he's coming from cheder, right? So how are you going to do it with him? Yankala, time to do your chumash. Not going to work, right? He says, Yankala, remember the last time we did the chumash and afterwards, Abba went and bought your pancake? Remember the geschmack it was? Of course. That is chumash. Why? Because he wants pancake. Rav Matisyahu says he was always give the sweet after the avoider, because what he remembers is the sweet, not the avoider. The last thing he does, that's what he remembers. So you've got to have a sabani, make sure that the last thing he gets is the prize. He gets his little sweet straight at the end. You can give him in the middle as well. But make sure that he gets something at the end, because that's what he remembers. Then you want to do it again. So same with your goof. You want to be on over Torah. So you've decided that things, okay? From now on in, 4 hours straight learning, whatever. I'm not saying you should start with that. It might be too much. But whatever you decide is a normal step out of real on the direction to ideal, fine. Tell your goof, if we get this right and we do this, I'm going to take you out for a pizza. Or whatever your drug of choice is, right? Fine. And then you do it. And then you go and you buy him his pizza. You buy him his pizza like a 6-year-old. Don't be embarrassed to treat yourself like a 6-year-old. Then now the next time you want to do it, you start feeling the resistance. So you say to the goof, don't remember what a geshmak had told me the last time we did this? So let me just learn the shtag, whatever. Take care, I can ask him afterwards. Bribe yourself. The Gemara says that you've got to give the little kids the egozim and whatever, and drafts to keep them learning or whatever. Don't think it doesn't apply to yourself. Our egozim are a little bit more sophisticated today or whatever. But bribe yourself. Get the goof on board. Don't fight the goof. You see, Hilchos Shabbos does it. On Shabbos you want to soar. On Shabbos you want your neshama to just soar. But the goof's going to step you down, right? I'm not saying this is why Shabbos is the way it is. I'm just telling you what I find for myself, what works, right? But the goof's going to get in the way. The goof's not going to let you do it. So what do? You bribe the goof. You have a nice top bath, you put on beautiful clothes, you eat the geshmaka suda. Oh, the goof's got anything to say now? The goof's going to resist Shabbos? Shabbos is geshmak for the goof. So he goes to sleep and he lets you do what you have to do. Imagine if you would fast every Shabbos, which is, makes sense to me, right? Shabbos is kulu ruchni, kulu yom shel Hashem. Oh, what shaykh do we have to all the gashmis? And goof wouldn't let you get started. It's only one day a year that we manage to do it, and that takes enormous yachad ishmai, and that's Yom Kippur. And you know that it takes enormous yachad ishmai because you had Rosh Hashanah 10 days before, and you know that you wouldn't have made it through to Kiev if you didn't go home for Kiddush, right? No, nachon? And at 2 o'clock you can go home for a Suda. In Yom Kippur you don't have any of that. And yet you go, you boom away, and it's mamash, and the goof doesn't interfere bichlal, kimat. Okay, so you see, one day a year you get enormous yachad ishmai. But you see, Shabbos tells you what to do to your goof. Yontif as well. Simchas Yontif, where a boss of a yain, that's a spiritual path. They'll say it's Ruchnias. I'm trying to sell this to a Buddhist somewhere. You know, I'm going to explain to him that that's called Ruchnias. Our holy day. No, we sit and we eat and you put on after. You're out of your mind, you're trying to get rid of the goof. Yeah, that's how we get rid of the goof. Bribe. I'm not Chas V'Chelilah saying that's what Enek Shabbos and Kovet Shabbos is about. Chas V'Chelilah. Much bigger and much deeper than I understand, but I'm just saying, you see that that's one of the tzotzot, and use it well, use it during the week as well, give the yetzer what he needs. That lemaisa, the sugya, the beginnings of the sugya of lo'ilam amal adam shelo lishmo shem tet lo lishmo bo lishmo. You've got to find some lo lishmo, you've got to find some loli shmo which gets the goof to just calm down a little bit. What's a loli shmo? It's something that really you shouldn't be doing. So how can you do it? Because it gets the yitzhar out of the way. Find a good loli shmo, go learn.
It ends up being lishma.
If the kavana was to learn lishmo, it says mitoch shel lishmo bo lishmo. That means, yeah, you want to get to the lishmo. You don't want to get to the lishmo, you just want to be in the loli shmo. That's the Gemara that says that the greatest minds of Mechuzah Yoyed LeGehenna, because they were learning Lo Lishmo Mitoch Shelo Lishmo Nishar BeLo Lishmo. In the city of Mechuzah was a big business industry, big business center in Bavel, and the most prized after people for business were the Talmidei Chachamim. So the best jobs used to go to the Talmidei Chachamim, so people used to learn and whatever, become Talmidei Chachamim so they could get good jobs, so they could be the richest people. So that's a lolishmo that wasn't mitosh lolishmo bolishmo. That was a lolishmo in order to get the best job in town. So the Gemara says that the chachamim of Mechuzah, something like that, the great man of Mechuzah, yoyed legehenim, are destined for Gehenim. Because they were learning for the Yetzer Hara. They worked for the Yetzer Hara, basically. They were shvutim b'rusot. No, the one who uses a lo lishmo is wanting to become a rabbi. He wants to become a rov. Become a rov of a city, he says, have a panasa. So he learns. He takes lo lishmo, a bo lishmo. Rav Tatman said to him, he said, the problem with this generation is everyone's trying to learn lishmo. So no one learns. He said, you have to find a good lo lishmo, go for it. The Yetzirah. I've seen it often. That's true Yetzirah, you know. I'm not going to learn until I learn lishmo. The Yetzer has got a big smile on his face. You'll never learn. That desire to do it better and more holy and whatever, which is stopping you from doing it, is actually the Yetzer. Be very careful. My Rebbe used to be very, 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 very fired up against Frumkeit. His sons, you ask his kids, the one thing he couldn't tolerate was Frumkeit. And not because it irritated him, it was because it's the Yetzer. You're so busy being frum that you actually forget that you know, why does the Yetzer want me to be frum? I asked the kid the other day. He has a certain tier to frumkat in a certain area. It was holding by chumra, one of the bochrim there, right? Chumra. Anything more insane? The bochrim of this yeshiva is keeping a chumra. I mean, there's nothing more off the wall than that. There's actually no reason why anybody else should be keeping chumras. Yeah? Or even he's allowed to keep chumras because he hasn't even learned Hilchas chumra yet. He's barely holding by the rabbonans, let alone chumras, yeah? He's keeping his own chumra, so what do you do? I've got a siyata lishma. I said to the guy, explain something to me. Do you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning for davening?
Yeah.
Do you have a hard time learning and whatever you find the Yetzirah?
Yeah.
So why is the Yetzirah not bothering you, yeah? Why is the Yetzirah so happy that, yeah, you can be mamash frum than everybody else? Baruch Hashem, he was intelligent enough, he got it. He understood. But you understand? That chumra that you're keeping, that little bit of yiddish, that could be the Yetzirah. I'm not saying it always is. Sometimes you know there's certain things that you're drawn to more that you want to, you know, you get a guy, he's a safest. Sometimes his tefillin will be a little shtickle more mahuda than the next guy's. Yeah, okay, I can understand. He's learned the sugya properly, he's a little bit more drawn to chumras in an area that he's closer to or whatever. Food's your thing, so you're a little bit more careful with what you eat. I'm not talking about that. We are, each person's got his own unique things that he's drawn to more and he keeps better. That's fine, as long as it's more balanced. But why are you suddenly, why is the Yetzirah so interested in you suddenly being machmir in a certain area? Because he's going to clap you double as hard later. Watch. Very often the Yetzirah, you can juggle in the king. Feldman discusses all of this there. That's the Vilna Goyen's map of the Yetzirah. It's brilliant. He goes through and explains to you the Yetzirah. Introduces you to, yeah, we're doing number four. Introduce yourself to yourself, right? The juggling the king is, yeah, meet your Yetzirah. Here he is. He has a map. He has Google Maps of your Yetzirah. Yeah? He has the potholes. He has the pitfalls. He has the bridges. He has the toll roads. There's a whole map of the Yetzirah. So very often the Yetzirah will get you to do something very, very tzitkas in order that you can say, hey, listen, I did a very righteous thing today. I don't have to learn so hard today. You're like, you're satisfied. You know, you had a nice steak, so you're not so angry anymore. Yeah? It's like you're going to visit your mother. So you know what's your mother's biggest pleasure? She's stooping you with all her food, right? So what do you do just before you go visit your mother? You have a double burger. Yeah, you're hungry, so you ate a burger. But what happens? You go to your mother, you can't eat her food. The same in Ruchnias. Sometimes the Yetzirah fills you up with things that you shouldn't be eating, and all that what you really should be eating, you don't eat because I'm really full. It takes a lot of chokhmah to be to deal with the Yetzirah. But what do we come out with? Yeah, the bottom line is if you want to do something, you want to change, you want to go out of your real, the way we mugged your change here, you want to take a little step out of real, make sure that the emotional base is ready for that change. And then go for it. All right, to be continued next week.